okay. Stop it! No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to go up there in a second, but first let me tell you a couple of things, okay? The other day we had a coupon to Johnny Garlic's. Ever been there? Have you? It's really good. I thought it was really good. A hamburger with mac and cheese. You know, really good. Anyway, they had the best artichoke dip ever. The best artichoke dip I've ever had. So I'm eating this artichoke dip, and I'm shoveling it away pretty quick, you know. Got these nice chips and everything. And all of a sudden, boom, right there. And of course, the boys, Dad, jeez, Dad, embarrass me. Now, I say that to say this. I normally what I do is I take my shirt and I go like this. But since we're in a nice restaurant, I didn't do that. But I took a fork. Josh said, "Take your fork, Dad." So I took my fork. It's so good I didn't want to waste any. But normally, normally that would just drive me crazy. You know, normally I wouldn't even want to stand up, or I wouldn't want to walk out of the restaurant, because clothes are really important to me. I know you can't tell now. But they used to be. Clothes used to be really important to me. What I wore used to be really important. And to have a stain on a shirt. Before, now, see, and Judy knows this. Before, I don't know how long ago, maybe 6 months ago, no. A long time ago, that shirt would just be put away and I'd never wear it again, you know, unless we could get that stain out. Because clothes are kind of important to me. This morning I woke up, and you got to understand the irony of this situation. This morning I woke up, I got this shirt out and it had wrinkles in it. And I looked at Judy and I said, "Hey, this shirt has wrinkles." And she said, "Well, you want me to iron it?" And I said, "No, because of what I'm preaching about today. I'm preaching about clothes. And not worrying." Okay, now it's all coming together. Not worrying about clothes. Now the reason that this is the last sermon that I'm giving in, that's kind of ironic too, that I'm giving on giving. The last message on explicitly on giving. Giving comes up in the Bible a lot, but explicitly on giving. And I asked myself, why did I choose this passage? And then it kind of hit me in the middle of the week. It's because it's easy to divert a lot of funds towards things that maybe are luxuries and not needs. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't enjoy clothing. We're going to talk about food too, and I certainly would never say don't enjoy food. I just told you I went to Johnny Garlic's. I told you what kind of cheeseburger I had, okay? And I don't think I sinned. But there is something about demanding those things from life, and there's something wrong about too high of expectations for those things in life. Because we have a Father who's going to take care of our needs. Let's read about it, okay? I'm going to go up here now. Now I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 6. And this is the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. And I think in order to understand this passage, you have to understand what Jesus is doing in his Sermon on the Mount. Now, Matthew doesn't record for us everything that Jesus said during that time. He just highlights the really important stuff. What Jesus is doing in the sermon that he's giving is the bottom line is he's saying to those who would aspire to follow him, he's saying, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, then you can't follow me. You'll never have the kind of righteousness that God demands from us if you stay at that level of the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, what he was referring to mostly was the religion of the scribes and Pharisees was external to their heart. It wasn't a matter of the heart. They were fine with the whole idea of murder as long as they didn't literally shed blood. Jesus said, you murder when you're angry. So see, Jesus is getting at the heart of things. What's in our heart. And of course, when we talk about clothes and we talk about food and we talk about these other things, I don't know what's in your heart, so I can't judge you on the basis of these things. What you wear and what you eat and where you go for entertainment or any of these other things. That's between you and God. It's a heart issue. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a heart issue. And what Jesus wants from us in terms of this stuff that he's talking about, these basic necessities in life, is he wants us, just like in every area of life, he wants us to trust him. That's what God wants from you. If you're ever wondering, what does God want from me? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him for everything. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Now the opposite of that, see, the trust of God leads us to a position where we have a restful, calm assurance because of who he is. He's our God and he's our Father. And if you trust him, if you're trusting in God the Creator, well, that's a good place to be. That lends itself to calm assurance and rest and peace. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. If you're my disciple, Jesus is saying, don't be anxious. Anxiety has no place in our lives. Now, I know that it happens, just like Andy was saying this morning. Andy, I'm gonna use you again, okay? Because we talk a lot in the morning, on Sunday morning. He says, that's easy to say, Pastor Dave. Didn't you say that? You said that. That's easy to say. But Jesus is demanding this. This is an element of the righteousness that we ought to have, that we can't have with his help. We can't conjure this up in our own lives, in our own hearts. It's not a matter of our own strength to do this. We can't just decide one day, I'm not going to be anxious anymore. No, we need his help. That's the whole point of this message. As you conclude this message, as you read this part of the Bible, you conclude, I need my King to help me. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to worry. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and whose mind is spinning a million miles per hour, and I'll give you rest. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. What you'll eat, or what you'll drink. Don't be anxious about your body, what you'll put on. Now here's one of Jesus, he loves to do this. He loves to ask questions that require a little more thought than maybe we're accustomed to. Is not life more than food? Well, I got to admit, sometimes no for me. I mean, to live is to eat. Judy eats to live. I live to eat. Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. That's been a pattern before. That's an admission. That's a confession. Please forgive me. But Jesus says, isn't your life more than food? In your body, you should wear clothes, but isn't your body more than clothing? Think about that, is what he's saying. Isn't there more to life than food and clothing? And it's almost like you hear him saying, it's almost like in the background you hear these words. If that's true, what are you worried about? Why are you so worried about those things? Then he does this. After he asks these questions, he says, I want you to think about this. I want you to consider this. I want you to look at this. Look at this carefully. Examine this. Look at the birds of the air. Just look. And he could have been standing there and there could have been some birds flying and he could have said, look. Look at the birds of the air. Now besides angry birds, have you ever seen a lazy bird? No, I thought about that this week. Unless the bird's pregnant, okay? And then, you know, they kind of, they have the waddle just like human beings do, okay? But Alice, you're looking at me like I have no idea what I'm talking about. Just strike that, okay? Forget the waddle and the bird. And I've never seen a lazy bird. Every bird I see is full of energy, full of life, unless it's, you know, roadkill. Okay, then obviously it's not alive anymore. But every living bird that I see, I mean, are you with me? This means yes, this means no. Are you with me? Birds, they have lots of energy, don't they? Especially hummingbirds, like. Look at the birds. They're not looking for farmland to purchase. They don't have a 5-year plan. They don't have a 10-year plan. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. They don't study farming technique. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And they have plenty of energy. You know, that energy has to come from somewhere. It comes from the food that they eat. That's translated into energy. And they don't have a problem finding food. Because their Heavenly Father feeds them. So he's asked a question, then he said, look at this. Look at this part of creation. Consider your Creator, God. And then he says, draw a comparison. Compare the birds with your own life. Who's more valuable? Now, this is a little countercultural, isn't it? As far as our culture. But Jesus says, who's more valuable? You or a bird? Well, the strong, strong implication is the human being. Just look at the order of creation and the whole purpose of creation. We are. And which of you, verse 27, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Who controls how many days we spend on this earth? How does worrying, being anxious, stressed out, frazzled, how does that add anything to our lives? If anything, contemporary medical information suggests that it takes away from our lives. And why are you worried about that spot on your shirt? Or that your pants might be wrinkled? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. Yet I tell you that the richest man ever to live, the most wealthy person ever to walk the face of the earth, by far, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now that those last two words, little faith, very interesting. It's something you want to avoid, obviously. But in the Greek language, it's one word, and it could be translated this way: little face. Little face. So I'd encourage me, together as a body of believers, let's not be a bunch of little face. Let's be a people of great faith who trust God for everything. Verse 31 changes direction a little bit. In the first part of this particular passage, Jesus is asking a question, and now he's addressing our questions. He says in verse 31, "Therefore don't be anxious, saying, 'What are we going to eat?'" For us, it's you know, you're driving in the car with your family on a trip. Where are we going to eat? One says, here. The other says, not there, here. The other says, not there, here. And who ends up deciding? Mom always ends up deciding. What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Inslee, I'm going to pick on you, okay? Can I? Okay. I owe her $20, by the way. I owe her $20. You know why? Now, this is kind of a rabbit trail, but it's kind of consistent with what we're talking about, too, because it's about food. So we ordered this pizza the other day. It's Chicago-style pizza, right? Deep dish pizza. Okay, now, to put it in perspective, at the most, and I feel like a glutton when I do this, but at the most, I can eat two pieces of this pizza. It is so rich and so good. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll be a smart guy, and I'll bet Inslee that she can't eat two pieces of this pizza. Stand up, Inslee. Look at her. Look at her. She ate two pieces of that pizza. Cost me $20. Anyway, what I was talking about was, you ever get up in the morning, this is between, you know, I want you to answer this for me. What am I going to wear? Now see, I know the answer to the question already, but are you going to be honest? You look through your clothes and you say, and you have so many. Now that's what you said. What am I going to wear? We're all kind of like that, aren't we? Now, if you're of the female gender, you might have a few more than those of us of the male gender. That's not necessarily true, but... Yeah, okay, it is. Why not just tell the truth? What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? Where's this stuff going to come from? You know, Andy reminded me this morning, and I knew this, but he reminded me, and I appreciate it. In that culture, there was far fewer choices. You know, they'd have one, two outfits maybe, and they're you know, they didn't have all the restaurant choices that we have. Okay, which really complicates life for us, doesn't it? Which really makes this especially relevant for us. But even then, a couple of thousand years ago, they had some of the same kind of issues. They were locked into thinking like this. I can visualize it for you. Can't see 2 inches in front of you. Which is the opposite, really, of an eternal perspective. Verse 32. Now he gives a couple of really powerful reasons for thinking differently. Not being obsessed with this other stuff. Unbelievers. Gentiles. They spend a day at Macy's. They spend hours looking at eBay. The Gentiles seek after these things. You're not like them. And we want them to be like us. Focused. Not on the stain on your shirt, but on the waiter who's waiting on you who might need Christ. Your Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that we cherish and think that we have to have today, and I'm guilty, all these things will be added to you as the Father sees that it's appropriate. Trust the Father. And to Dave Bacher, and to those of you who are with me in my camp, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There were some,
I'm coming down and I'm going to pray. And when I'm praying, if the worship team would come up, but I'm not praying yet. There's a passage in Romans. It's that passage that we all love. At the very end of chapter 8, where it talks about nothing. Nothing. Not even the worst thing that you can imagine can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. I love my dog. It's an ugly dog. Really ugly. But I love my dog. Wrigley. Why do you suppose my dog's name is Wrigley? Never mind. I wouldn't imagine. I can't even imagine, I should say, not feeding Wrigley. Not letting Wrigley, well, I can imagine sometimes not letting her crawl up into my lap, but most of the time I let her crawl up into my lap. And playing around with Wrigley. And making sure Wrigley is happy. I can't imagine being ugly and mean to my ugly, and sometimes mean, dog. I love that dog. She's just a dog. She's just a dog. It's hard for me to conceive of how much God loves me. I'm much more valuable than a dog. I try to compare, how much does God love us? More than we can ever imagine. Nothing will ever separate us from that love. Okay, so we're loved that much. He's going to take care of us. Let's take care of His business. Let's do the work He's given us. If He's taking care of us, let's seek first the kingdom of God. Let's make sure that Jesus reigns in this place. That Jesus reigns in this place. That'll look like something like this, okay? So I'm mad at Brent. Brent's just irritating us. Where Jesus reigns, what happens? I got anger, and I let it go. Where Jesus reigns, we all look to Him and say, "We trust You, Lord. We got this debt." That's not a debt. It's a deficit. We trust You. We trust You. You got our back. We're here because of You. We're here to represent You. We're here to help Christian people be more conformed to the very likeness of Christ, and we're here for those who don't know Christ so that at least they can hear that message, that critical message about Christ. We're here for that. We'll focus on that. We'll trust that You focus on us. Make sense? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call you Father. And it could be that in this room that there are many who had earthly fathers who were just mean, nasty, stingy, stubborn, and not real fathers. And that hurts. And that's wrong. But we have you as our Father. And we know that you love us. And that you're going to take care of us. And our hearts just want to explode in praise. Because we belong to you. Thank you for making that possible through Jesus and what he did for us. By breaking down that wall of hostility that existed between us. And shedding his blood so that we could be forgiven. Rising again to give us hope that goes beyond even the grave. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name and for your sake. Amen.